We briefly mentioned something about sugar, how that if we take sugar in without the vitamins and minerals that God has put in those natural foods, we can really get into trouble. And I'd like to say that the very same thing can happen to fat. If you take fat in without the vitamins and the minerals that God has put along with that fat, we can get into very severe trouble. Now, fat has a very peculiar thing that it will do. It will turn rancid if it's not properly protected. Now, to properly protect fat, you need things like antioxidants to protect the fat from turning rancid. Now, what are antioxidants? That's a big word, I know, but does anybody know what an antioxidant is? An antioxidant is something that you probably know more like a vitamin. It's like vitamin C is an antioxidant. Vitamin E is an antioxidant. Carotene is an antioxidant. And a mineral called selenium is an antioxidant. And there's a number of others that we could go into, but those just tell you a little bit about things that will protect the fat from turning rancid. Now, natural food is just loaded with vitamin C, with vitamin E, with carotene, and with selenium. The natural food that we eat, especially the foods where we get our oil out of. Now, the oil, in its natural state, it needs those things to protect it from turning rancid. You need the vitamin C and the E and the selenium and the carotene all in that natural product to keep that oil from turning rancid. Because rancid oil is very destructive, and in chemistry we call that free radicals. When oil turns rancid, it emits free radicals and it just rips and tears through the tissues. Very destructive. Now, if you eat the natural products, you take in that fat with all the vitamins and minerals that is there naturally to protect it. But if you take oil directly out of the oil bottle, as it comes in corn oil or soybean oil or olive oil or whatever, the purified product that's just nothing but pure triglycerides, if you take that pure oil, it has had all the carotene removed from it, it has had all the vitamin C and all the selenium, and the vast majority of vitamin E has been removed from it. And do you know where that vast majority of vitamin E goes that they take out of the oil? Oh, that's right. You can go to the health food store and pay a big price for it to get it in the form of natural vitamin E. So the vast majority of vitamin E is removed from that oil. So what you're doing is taking in naked fat that doesn't have all those things that God put in there to protect it. It's just pure free fat, a chemical, a triglyceride. And it needs protection from turning rancid. Because fat requires three things to turn rancid. Now let's name them. First of all, it needs warmth. If you put fat in the refrigerator, it won't turn rancid as fast as if you keep it out in the hot room. Okay, so it needs warmth. Are your tissues warm? Most assuredly. So this free oil, on that account, is going to be in trouble when you take it and take it in without all those natural things that God put in there to protect that oil. It needs oxygen to turn rancid because it's really oxidizing that fat. And that's why those antioxidants that prevent oxidation, the vitamin C, the vitamin E, and the carotene and selenium, that's why they're so important. So it needs oxygen to turn rancid. That's why you want to keep the cap on the oil bottle And many people store the oil in the refrigerator. Now, are your tissues loaded with oxygen? They should be. That's right. Now, many people's tissues aren't loaded with oxygen. They have such poor circulation. They don't get their exercise. They don't breathe the proper kind of air. They don't get out and get the sunshine. So that's a problem. But your tissues should be loaded with oxygen. So your tissues meet this second qualification that is necessary to get that oil turning rancid. And the third one is light. Bright light speeds up the reaction to turn the oil rancid. That's why they put certain oils in brown bottles. Keep it out of the light, because it'll sure speed up that reaction. Now, what's going to happen if you get your tissues out in the sunlight, or get your body, your skin out in the sunlight? You're going to accelerate that reaction in the presence of all that oxygen in the warm environment. And sure enough, that fat's going to start turning rancid. Now, when this fat turns rancid in your tissues, it rips and tears and is terribly destructive. Unless you have all those things that God put there in that natural food, and we know this happens because we can give animals the antioxidants in their diet, the vitamin E and the vitamin C, and this doesn't occur. Those fats are protected. But if we just give them the oil, then we start running into all these terrible ripping and tearing reactions of that rancid fat. And this leads to cancer formation. This leads to aging of the tissues. And when those rancid fats or those free radicals get there in the tissues and rip and tear, they leave deposits in the tissues. And we can look at those under a microscope, and they're a pigment that we can see in the tissues. And those pigments can be looked at with a microscope, and we can judge the age of those tissues by how many of those pigments are there. Old tissue has a lot of pigments, and they're dark pigments, and I'll show you some here shortly as you see them under the microscope. And physiologists can judge the age of your tissue by looking at some of it under the microscope and seeing how many of those fats have turned rancid and turned into those pigments. And polyunsaturated fats are the very best fat in the world for turning rancid. And those deposits that are there in those tissues are the end product of polyunsaturated fat. They're incriminated. The evidence is solid. It's not circumstantial evidence. We find their dead bodies right there in those pigments. So we know that they are the problem. Okay, let's turn our first slide on now. Now this just gives you an idea of what a cell wall looks like. You can look right here and see the cell wall. And on the inside of the cell, this is two cells. Here's one cell over there and another cell over here. And here's the little wall that goes down in between your cells. And these substances in here are called mitochondria. You see them in here? And what do the mitochondria do inside your cell? They're the power plants inside your cell. They are the things that produce all of the energy that your cell needs to keep functioning and maintain its shape and its structure and its function. And if they're damaged, you're really in trouble. And those mitochondria need oxygen to burn your food with to produce energy. Believe it or not, your food is burned just like you'd burn wood in a bonfire. It's oxidized. It requires oxygen. If you shut the oxygen off to that bonfire, it'll go out. And your food requires oxygen to burn that too. And it eventually burns your food right down to carbon dioxide and water. And you breathe the carbon dioxide off and some of the water. And this is the way you get the energy out of your food. You burn it just like you burn in a bonfire and you feel the heat from the bonfire. Well, your body produces heat when it burns that food. Well, in the body, it's a much slower reaction. It goes at a much more controlled rate. But all that takes place right there in those little mitochondria, those little structures inside the cell. This whole process of producing energy for the body takes place there. Well, now you notice that there's kind of a blue haze all the way around those little mitochondria. And around some of the other structures, like this structure here called a lysosome. Now those lysosomes are very interesting things. Did you all see the lysosome? That's one there. There's another one down there. Another one up there. Those lysosomes contain poison. And if a white blood cell that contains lysosomes, if that white blood cell should engulf a bacteria, then that lysosome moves over to that bacteria and shoots out a bunch of poison onto that bacteria and kills that bacteria. So you certainly don't want to break that lysosome inside the cell in there, or else it can do a lot of damage. You want to keep that membrane around that lysosome intact. Now, let's go... Okay, let's look at a cell for a moment. This is an entire cell. You can look all the way around the cell here. And in the center, you see a nucleus inside the cell. And you can see the mitochondria. See those little bodies there, the mitochondria? And the lysosome. You can see that lysosome there, a little sac filled with poison. Well, this cell that we're looking at is a cell that is being exposed to the sunlight. And you can see those little blue wavy lines coming down here. That's sunlight striking this cell. Now, that sunlight, and this particular cell is from someone who's been eating oil out of the oil bottle. They've been frying their veggie burgers in it, or they've been putting mayonnaise on their sandwiches or in their salads or whatever. They've been getting a lot of these oils and fats without the natural things that God has given to protect those fats. Now, when that sunlight comes down and strikes those membranes that are made out of the polyunsaturated fats, it causes them to go rancid because there's lots of oxygen there. They're warm, and here comes the sunlight. So those turn rancid, and those free radicals, or those rancid fats, you can see them going right there. See the little comet-shaped structure? Now, I have to thank Dr. Tapple for these slides. He's the one that put them together. He's a world-famous authority on vitamin E. He's at the University of California, Davis. Now, just follow these free radicals, these little comet-shaped things, through this cell. And you can see this one has come down here and struck this lysosome there. And remember I said you don't want to damage those because they can really do a lot of damage inside the cell. Well, here we go. It's shooting down there, and this one is shooting down there. Let's see what that one does. Okay, you see what this one has done? That poison has run out all through the cell and it's gone up there and damaged that mitochondria, that little powerhouse up there. It's gone down here and damaged this powerhouse here. It's gone over here and damaged that powerhouse there. It's damaged that one there. Now your cell needs those powerhouses, those mitochondria that take the oxygen and combine it with the food to produce energy. And those cells cannot maintain their structure and their shape and their function if they don't have energy. That's what makes your body go, is energy. And anything that damages those mitochondria or damages the input of oxygen into that cell or damages the reaction of oxygen inside that mitochondria with the food is going to cut down that cell's ability to stay healthy. And if you get enough of those cells that are damaged like that, you are going to have an organ that is not able to maintain its structure and its function, and disease will set in. Now, so we can see the importance of those mitochondria. They're vital. In fact, Dr. Warburg, the doctor I mentioned this morning who won 2 Nobel Prizes for his work in this, came up with the scientific evidence that any time you damage those mitochondria, damage the ability of the cell to produce energy, you have produced a cancer cell. Because, as we mentioned this morning, when we cut the oxygen off from those cells, they turn malignant, they turn cancerous. We cut their energy down. They can no longer maintain their intricate shape and structure. And they go back to a more primitive type of, or an embryonic type of form, where they are more cancerous, like shaped like. And the more they go back towards that way, the more malignant they are. Now, the doctors call it a more undifferentiated form of cancer. And the more damage you do to that cell, the more undifferentiated it goes. It doesn't maintain its nice structure and function like it really should. Now, I know I'm getting into some complicated material for you, but this is vitally important that we don't damage those mitochondria in this cell. And we'll talk a little bit more about those when we get into margarine and talk about the very destructive way that they handle the fat. But I'll get into that shortly. Now, look at this little comet going down here and just breaking a hole right into the cell wall. And you break holes in the cell wall, why cancer-producing substances can get inside that cell and do damage. So we're really doing a lot of damage to this cell. Now this is a cell wall. And the cell walls, whether they're a cell wall or whether they're a wall around one of the mitochondria, and if you look back, you can see that these walls on the mitochondria are like walls. They go all the way around the mitochondria and close it in. Or this wall here on this cell also. Now, here's just a blown up picture of one of those walls. And the wall kind of has what we call enzymes along here that actually take part in the reactions and the functions and help to metabolize the food and make different chemicals that we need inside our body. And these little blue areas here will represent by vitamin E or an antioxidant that protect that polyunsaturated fat. And these yellow globules in here will call those polyunsaturated fat. And these here are fat that has turned rancid, these little darker yellow areas. And they have emitted off those little comets or those free radicals, and they're going over here and they're being caught by the vitamin E, and there's no damage done to the cell. Now let's take a look at another slide. Now here's someone that was eating more oil and wasn't getting their food the way that God has made it, and you notice there's not very much vitamin E. The vitamin E is the blue. Now compare that with the first slide. You see all the vitamin E that's in there to protect that fat? If it does turn rancid, the vitamin E catches it and stops the damage right now. But here's someone that wasn't getting the proper nutrients. They weren't eating the food the way that God made it for them. And you can see here that all this fat that's out here in the middle is not protected, and it's emitting those free radicals or their rancid fat, and it's going up and starting to do damage. Look at the damage it's doing up in there. Look at the damage down there. It's not nice like this. It's been kind of ripped apart, that cell wall. Let's go on and look at some worst cases. Here we go. Look at this one. There's only one antioxidant down there. Not protecting very much, and look at the damage that's being done over here. Just ripping and tearing into that cell wall. Now, many of you possibly have heard some of the theories of aging and the cross-linking theory of how that when the large molecules in your body come together and link together in abnormal ways, they don't function the way that they really should. And this is one of the things that happens in aging. And it makes your tissues stiff, and it makes you so you can't get around like you should or bend like you should. Well, here these free radicals come down here, these rancid fats, and they combine these large molecules in your body in abnormal ways. Here, look, they've hooked this molecule up here to the side of this one here, and they've hooked this one up here on the side. They just do all kinds of strange things that they never should do. Now, here's kind of an end product of a cell that has just been all beat up with a rancid fat. Just battered and just nothing but kind of a hollow shell. Now, this is the tissue of a four-month-old mouse. And you don't see a lot of pigment, although you see some little darker areas on this slide. But let's look at a mouse much older and compare that. Now, here's a mouse that's been fed oil, and you can see that the dark pigment spots here. Well, let's look at an old man. Let's take a look at his tissues. Here's a 79-year-old man. And just look at the dark areas. All those polyunsaturated fats turn rancid and have done their damage and are there in that tissue. There's more. This is from the brain, the nervous tissue, where you just loaded with dark pigment all the way through it. Just terrible damage all the way through there. And that damage is preventable. It's not a mandatory thing to get that kind of damage. If you get all the nutrients that God put in the food for us. That's what prevents those fats from turning rancid and ripping and tearing and doing all that damage in there. It's important that we eat the food the way that God made it for us. It's vitally important. We just don't separate out the oil and eat that as a separate thing because of the terrible damage it does to our bodies. And we could spend 3 or 4 more hours this afternoon telling you about all the scientific evidence that shows that the polyunsaturated fat is a disaster in the human body. The free fat. And I don't especially separate out the polyunsaturated fats. I think any free fat is a real disaster. You take butter and it'll even run into problems with doing this kind of a problem. Aging the tissues. Causing all kinds of problems. And we know that we can stop skin cancer that is caused by the sun by giving carotene, vitamin E, and selenium and things like that. And we know that experimental animals that are given those things, they just do not develop the skin cancer. Where if we don't give them, then the skin cancer just comes on rampant. Just blossoms out all over the animal. Can you begin to get a picture of how important it is to eat the food the way that God made it for us? And not fractionate it out and eat the grease and the oil that comes in such a wide variety of our foods. Let's just look at this slide just a moment to give you a little idea of what I was talking about a short time ago when I mentioned the study done at Weimar where we took the young men and added the fat to the diet with cholesterol in the diet. Now, on a cholesterol-free diet, and you remember I told you that there is no cholesterol in vegetable products, that the only time you can get cholesterol is if you eat animal products. So if you eat an animal product-free diet, you will not get any cholesterol in your diet. Now, if you don't get any cholesterol in your diet, your cholesterol level is going to stay pretty even. And whether you add saturated fat or polyunsaturated fat to your diet, it doesn't make any difference. You can fry your veggie burger in coconut oil, or you can fry it in safflower or sunflower seed oil, and it's not going to make any difference as far as your cholesterol level. It is going to stay the same. It's only when you add cholesterol to your diet. See, on a cholesterol-free diet, you wouldn't expect the cholesterol to change if you add oil to the diet. But on a cholesterol-free when you add cholesterol to the diet, it does make a difference which kind of fat you use, whether it's saturated or unsaturated fat. Now, notice down here, with saturated fat, the cholesterol level goes way up high in the bloodstream. And with unsaturated fat, it goes way up, but not quite as high. And this difference here is where all the recommendation comes from, saying that polyunsaturated fat will lower your blood cholesterol. And for the last 30 years, nutritionalists and physicians have been pushing polyunsaturated fat because it lowers your blood cholesterol. It'll bring it down a little bit. May bring it down from 280 to, say, 220 or something like that, or 230 or 40. And this little drop that you get in there is where all the argument is about, whether polyunsaturated fats will lower your cholesterol or not. Now, this is grease when it's added to cholesterol. You see, unsaturated fat with cholesterol in the diet. Now, if you are using a diet that does not have grease in it and does not have the oil or margarine or whatever else you want in it that does include cholesterol, then your cholesterol is going to be way down here someplace. It's the cholesterol that is combined with the grease that really makes the high blood cholesterol. Any fatty or oily substance that you add to your diet is a real disaster in the human body as far as elevating the blood cholesterol. And we have good, solid scientific evidence to support this. Now, that little difference that you saw between the saturated fat and the polyunsaturated fat has been causing a tremendous amount of fights among physicians, public health authorities, nutritionalists. And some of them are saying that if we could get all the Americans, even though Americans have increased their consumption of polyunsaturated fats by 5 or 6 times over the last 40 or 50 years, they're still not happy, and they say if we could get Americans on more polyunsaturated fats, we could cut down the heart attack rate, and we could do this and that and the other thing. And there's other authorities, very prominent authorities, high up in the big university centers, who say it's not true. There's no difference between the little decrease in blood cholesterol that polyunsaturated fats cause. There is no difference in the heart attack rate. And the fight goes on. And for the last 30 years, there have been studies trying to prove that polyunsaturated fats will cure or treat heart disease. And just in the last 6 to 8 months, there's been two articles come out in our own periodicals that these men have taken the side of the group that say that polyunsaturated fats can cure and prevent heart disease, and they're promoting polyunsaturated fats. And they try to quote from some of these studies that have tried to show this. Well, the interesting thing about these studies, and these studies have been done all over the United States and into England and Finland and a number of areas, and these studies are put together in such a way that they're really terrible. Absolutely unbelievable if you understand statistics and understand whether you put an experiment together, whether it's really believable or not. You look at these studies and they're just unbelievable the way they're put together. The researchers didn't know what they were doing. And yet you see these research papers quoted to prove that their polyunsaturated fats are good for you. Now, if you want to hear what some of the high authorities say about polyunsaturated fats and their ability to lower the heart attack rate, let me read you a quote here from the American Journal of Cardiology. Just published last year, Dr. Barhani, he's the Dean of Epidemiology in the United States. And Dr. Barhani makes this statement, and he's speaking about this hypothesis that polyunsaturated fat will decrease the heart attack rate. And he calls it the lipid hypothesis. Lipid is just a fancy name for fat. And he says, unfortunately, the lipid hypothesis has not been tested adequately to the satisfaction of the medical community. All primary and secondary intervention trials conducted thus far have reported negative or equivocal results. Further, most of these studies suffer from methodological shortcomings, including inadequate study design and analysis, inadequate numbers, inadequate and sometimes total lack of randomization and lack of double blinding. Now, I know all those are just a lot of big words to you. Unless you've had a number of classes in statistics, you probably wouldn't understand them. But what he's saying here is that these studies were just really lousy and they don't prove anything. Absolutely nothing. There is no proof that polyunsaturated fats will decrease heart disease. In fact, a number of margarine and mayonnaise and oil-producing companies have tried to put this on the market. Lower your heart attack rate. Use polyunsaturated fats. And do you know that the Food and Drug Administration has forbade them to do that because there is no proof? And the Food and Drug Administration has actually had to pass laws making it illegal to state that polyunsaturated fats could prevent or treat heart disease. And let me read you the words here in the law. The Food and Drug Administration has now gone on record saying it is a violation of the law to make any claim that polyunsaturates can prevent or treat heart disease. It's illegal to do that. It's illegal to give somebody a couple tablespoons of oil a day and say it'll lower your cholesterol and prevent heart disease or heart attacks. There's many other studies we could get into to show how that those studies that were done were just so poorly put together that there is absolutely no proof that polyunsaturated fats can treat or prevent heart disease at all. And until there is good, sound proof, the medical community, the people up in the higher ranks that are really looking at these studies, they aren't going to accept it, and they're not going to allow the oil companies and the margarine companies and other people who are going around promoting polyunsaturated fats to say that those do what they don't do. Because there is no proof at the present time. And I don't think there ever will be either, because many studies just prove just the opposite. that there is absolutely no difference between one form of grease or the other. Grease is grease. Fat is fat. It'll obstruct your digestion the same way. It'll plug your arteries up the same way. It's a disaster in the body. Well, I want to spend a little bit of time with you in this area of immunity to disease. Last night we talked about it and we told you that polyunsaturated fats actually caused a decrease in immunity. Now this is a really complicated mechanism that it does in the body. But there's a certain substance inside the cell called cyclic adenosine monophosphate. And I know that's a gigantic word for you. But essentially we can abbreviate this substance and call it CAMP. C-A-M-P, like you went camping someplace. Well now this CAMP, when it builds up in your cell, it paralyzes that cell from fighting infection. Now, if that's a white blood cell, it paralyzes it so it just can't fight infection anymore. In fact, if it's supposed to be fighting a cancer cell, it doesn't even realize that the cancer cell is there anymore. When that CAMP starts to build up in that cell, the cell no longer realizes that a cell next to it has turned cancerous. And it'll just go ahead and let it grow and multiply and divide in your body. Well, so what raises this level of CAMP in that cell? What causes that to go up? Well, polyunsaturated fats do it. Polyunsaturated fats turn into hormones in the body that cause that level of CAMP to be elevated. And the more polyunsaturated fats you eat, the more these hormones are formed. These hormones are called prostaglandins. And they're very powerful at raising that level of CAMP. Well, what else raises the level of CAMP in your cell? Well, caffeine from coffee will do it. You know that caffeine will give you a buzz, stimulate you? Well, that's what it does. It goes in there and paralyzes those white blood cells so they can't fight infection. And coffee drinkers, they seem to get more trouble with cancer. There's a number of cancers that are implicated with coffee drinking. Now, there's a number of other things that inhibit those cells from fighting infection, like theophylline, theobromine. Where do you find those things? Chocolate. Well, that's a shame. Chocolate is so good. One of the problems with chocolate is they mix it with so much grease and it's really a disaster, and so much sugar, and it's a disaster from about 3 or 4 different angles. So it's really a problem. But these substances do cause the level of CAMP to be elevated in the cell and paralyze those cells so they cannot fight infection or they cannot recognize a cancer cell. And we're told that there's probably a number of our cells every day that turn cancerous. And if our immune system doesn't recognize them as cancer cells and destroy them, they'll go ahead and grow and start multiplying and destroy your body. So it's important that our immune system is alive and well and functioning good. Now, what lowers that level of CAMP in our cells? Okay, first of all, it's lowered by sunlight. Sunlight has a very dramatic effect in lowering it. It just knocks that level of CAMP down right now. And if coffee stimulates that level of CAMP to be elevated and gets your body going at a good high rapid rate, stimulating you, what do you think sunlight would do if it knocks all that CAMP out of your cells? Have you ever fallen asleep under a sun lamp? Or laid out in the sun and got real sleepy? Sunlight will relax you. It really will. Give you a lot of peace of mind and tranquility. So it's very interesting how all these things are put together. Now you would expect if polyunsaturated fat that turns into a hormone in your body, a powerful hormone called a prostaglandin that knocks out your immune system, you would expect in studies done that polyunsaturated fats cause more cancer in experimental animals than would the saturated fats. Well, let's go to the scientific literature and just see if that's true. First of all, let's look at corn oil compared to beef fat. Now, beef fat, saturated fat, corn oil is a polyunsaturated fat. And let's look at the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, just published in 1977, Dr. Wilson. Malignant tumors of the colon causing death occurred earlier in rats fed corn oil as compared to those fed beef fat. A malignant cancer of the bowel occurs earlier in those animals that were fed corn oil versus the one who were fed the beef fat. Now, this just fits right identical into our data. Let's go on. 1968, article published in the Canadian Medical Association Journal. The results showed that a diet containing 20% corn oil gave a significantly higher tumor yield than diets containing 20% coconut oil. Let's go on. The Australian National University, Dr. Hopkins writing in the journal Life Sciences, 1976. Epidemiological data have implicated dietary fat as an important factor in the etiology of various cancers in humans. And I don't want to lead you astray that saturated fat isn't implicated in the cancer formation too. It is. But I'm just saying that polyunsaturated fats may have a leading edge as far as producing cancer in the human or in the experimental animal. Dr. Hopkins goes on. This suggestion is supported by the results of experiments with animals which have shown that increased amounts of dietary fat, in particular polyunsaturated fats, increases the incidence of some spontaneous and induced tumors. In particular, polyunsaturated fat. Dr. Carroll, writing in the journal Lipids, 1971. Experiments with 10 different fats and oils fed at the 20% level, which is just about what most Americans eat, is around 40 to 45% fat. And the 20% level just tells us that fat has 9 calories versus the carbohydrates and the proteins that only have about 5. So there's about twice as many calories. So the fat level is just about what most Americans get. So experiments with 10 different fats and oils fed at the 20% level indicate that unsaturated fats enhance the yield of adenocarcinomas more than saturated fats. Adenocarcinoma is a bad one. It's a bad cancer if you ever have heard of it. So we have here evidence that the polyunsaturated fats, the more unsaturated the fat, the more it seems to stimulate these cancers to grow. So there is good evidence to be worried about the high polyunsaturated fat diet that many are trying to lead Americans on. Now, we know that if fat is eaten in the way that nature gives it to us, it's far different than if we extract it out and we lose all those vitamins and minerals. Because we know in skin cancer alone that if we get all those antioxidants in there, all the vitamin E and the vitamin C, that it protects that cell from turning cancerous. Now there may be other factors involved. There may be virus in there that are ripping and tearing your mitochondria apart and your cell apart. And those viruses or germs could just go on and freely tear up those cells because your immune system is paralyzed by the polyunsaturated fat. So I'm not saying that these free radicals are the main cause, although we know that when we inhibit those free radicals or those rancid fats from doing their work by giving the antioxidants, we don't get those cancers that are formed. So we know that they are very much implicated, that rancid fat in the tissues. Well, before we break again, I would like to mention one other thing, and then we're going to come back and I'll talk for a little while, and then we'll have questions and answers. And you can throw out any question you want to me and I'll do my best to answer it. Now, there's a certain kind of fat that has taken over the nation. It's a polyunsaturated fat that has been put through a chemical process and partially hardened. Now, you can't go to the grocery store and buy a loaf of bread that doesn't have these partially hardened fats in them. You can't buy a cracker. You can't. It's almost impossible for you to go and buy a TV dinner that doesn't have these partially hardened fats in them. Now, what do they do with these partially hardened fats? They take fat. First of all, they rip it out of its natural condition where it came in the nut or the seed or the grain or whatever, and they take it out. And instead of leaving it in its natural shape, they tear it up and straighten it out so it's no longer the same thing that you get in nature. It's an abnormal chemical now. It's a fat that's totally alien to anything that mankind has ever gotten. And then they partially harden it to make it more like an animal fat. And then they give you this as a very nutritious part of your diet. Partially hardened fats. And as I said, it's almost impossible to buy bread or crackers or any of your packaged foods. They're just loaded with these partially hardened fats. Now, what's the matter with these partially hardened fats? First of all, they go in there and those partially hardened fats damage the mitochondria. They damage the cell wall so that it can't hold out the cancer-producing substances anymore. And those mitochondria cannot combine the oxygen the way that it really should. And those mitochondria cannot produce the energy like it did when it was getting natural fat. When those partially hardened fats get in there, they foul up those mitochondria so they just can't produce energy. Now, can you see yourself out there jogging along the road, trying to muster up plenty of energy to get your exercise? And those mitochondria that are supposed to be producing the energy for you, all clogged up with those partially hardened fats and can't function the way they really should? Or can you see yourself trying to get your job done and your work and carry on with your activities and just feeling just as tired as can be? Your mitochondria all stuffed up and gummed up with those partially hardened fats. It just doesn't work to take those things and really expect to have good health. And remember I told you that anything that stops that process of combining the oxygen with the food and burning it that way to produce the energy is a cancer-producing substance. Dr. Warburg won 2 Nobel Prizes showing that. Well, if trans fats do that, and they do it, then they should be implicated in causing cancer. And just last year, in the fall of 1978, an article came out in the journal Federation Proceedings that implicates those partially hardened fats as being number one at causing cancer in humans. Number one over lard, over every other kind of fat. Number one implicated in human studies. And yet they're in everything you buy in the grocery store today. Except if you go and purchase your food in the produce section. Stay in that section. Buy your fruits and vegetables. And you may have to, I don't know out here, but back in the West, we have to go to a health food store to purchase whole grains. Although some of the supermarkets out there now are catching on that it's a huge business they're missing out on, and they're starting to sell some of the whole grains right in the grocery store. So perhaps they've already caught on out here, and you can buy your whole grains right from the grocery store. But this is the way to get your food in the produce section and not over there in the packaged goods section. And you should learn to be a label reader and read the labels. Because there was another physician and I that went down through the grocery store and we started picking up packages and just looking at all the different packages of prepared foods, whether they're frozen dinners or whether they're prepared this or that or the other thing. And we went down through them and started picking them up. And it got so obvious that every one of them had the partially hardened fats in them that we started skipping. Every fifth one, we went down the aisle and looked at them. And we could honestly say that 99% of them had those partially hardened fats in them. So it is really hard for you to get your food from the packaged stores and the grocery store. It is best to go to the produce section and buy your food. Now, I know the question that many of you may have. Well, you know, what do we have left to eat? Is it just carrots and lettuce or celery or what? That's not true. It is really amazing. If you go back to the early cookbooks and look and see what the people ate back there, you would be amazed. They lived well, believe me. They could make the most luscious bread without using any free fat. They could make wonderful pie crust. They could make all kinds of things, all kinds of roasts and casseroles and all kinds of delicious food and never use a bit of free fat in it. And I would like to assure you that it's just a different style of cooking. And you may want to use a little milk or cream to season your vegetables. Or your fruit. I think a little milk or cream on fruits or vegetables just adds a very luscious flavor to things, and you don't need a bit of margarine or mayonnaise on it. So that's one way you can get started in changing is using some of those things. Use them sparingly. But there's a number of recipe books that are out that are available right now. Let me show some of them to you. This one that the Weimar Institute puts out. The cooks up there at the Weimar Institute have tried to put out a very nice recipe book, and I think they've done a very nice job. And this is available from the Weimar Institute. And by the way, I've given Mrs. Oswald the addresses of all these cookbooks, and she said she would make that available to those of you who would like to order one of these cookbooks. And you can write direct to these various institutes and get these cookbooks. This one from Yuchi Pines. Many of you have heard of the Thrashes down Yuchi Pines. Yuchi Pines Institute. This is Eat for Strength, the oil-free edition. And Dr. Thrash has just done a wonderful job in producing a cookbook. There's just a tremendous amount of information in there. And I'd like to say that these first two cookbooks are putting together food without the use of any animal products also. In other words, no milk, no eggs of any kind are used in these first two, from the Weimar Institute and from the Yuchi Pines Institute. And then I have another cookbook here that some of you may find very fascinating, and that's the No Oil, No Fat Vegetarian Cookbook by Trudy Hoffman. Now, Trudy Hoffman is the wife of Dr. Hoffman, who wrote that book on the Hunza people. And she's put together a very nice cookbook, and she does use some milk and cream, and I believe some eggs in here too, but not too much. And the recipes are very good. In fact, this copy was given to me personally by Dr. J. Hoffman himself, and I loaned it to the cooks up there at the Weimar Institute. And I said, look it over, and if you want one, go ahead and order one for yourselves, because I want this one for myself. And after a couple of weeks went by, I said, have you had a chance to look at that cookbook? And they said, oh, yes, that's very good. We'll get it back to you. A couple months went by, and I said, did you get a chance to look at that cookbook? Well, it took me almost a year to finally recover my cookbook. They thought so much of it, and they really begrudged when he gave it back to me. And I finally had Dr. Hoffman send them one, too. So, but they really appreciate it. They said there's just a lot of good ideas in it. So there's all kinds of things that you can make. In fact, you can make pizza that is so good that even my kids think it's good. And that's really saying something. So they like it. It's just almost like the regular pizza. It just has a cheesy flavor and everything. So there's all kinds of ideas for making bread and crusts and desserts and everything that you're used to eating. And I can't say that everything we can copy identically and keep the free fat out, but there's an awful lot that you'll really enjoy and really like. And it's all a style, all of learning how to cook. I think what we ought to do is take a break and then come back and we'll have a question and answer session.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.